center. First down for the Bucks out of the gun. Freeman fires. It is caught. Touchdown, Vincent Jackson.
Hey, yo, what's good, old school? What up with the Buck Podcast? It's your boy, E2, and you know we had to do it again, right? Let's go!
What the buck, podcast? I know you need this. The whole league mad cause we just got Rebus. All the quarterbacks need to go find Jesus.
I bet they won't throw Hail Marys no more, get
so
it.
So where you gonna go to get your information? Studio 76, What the Buck Nation. If all of y'all feeling what the hell I'm saying, type in the chat, yo, we ain't playing. Shiano got a plan, Freeman got a plan, Jackson got a plan, Doug Martin is the man. The defense is back and the rookies are grown. Let me welcome everybody to the no fly zone.
Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell them where to ride. Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell them where to ride.
What the buck, dot, net, what the buck, dot, net, what the buck, dot, net, what the buck, what the buck, what the buck, what the buck.
Hey, old school, man, I'm done, man. I'm wrapping it up. Go ahead and start the podcast, my dude.
All right. E2, thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate the new intro track. We will transition over to the live camera, and this probably won't crossfade, but we'll transition anyway. Welcome to the broadcast tonight. Hopefully you guys can hear and see and all those sorts of things. We're still cobbling this back together piece by piece. I think we've got a new piece of information today on Wirecast, and you know, it's going to be some cool shit we're doing. It's taken a long time, and you guys have been very, very patient, which I appreciate, but it's going to be a lot of fun as we continue to put this together. I was talking to Kurt earlier today about that. The technology is coming along, and finally, folks like me can do this sort of stuff on a regular basis, and you guys are able to benefit, and I'm able to do the things that I want to do and provide a product that I think we can all be happy with. So it's all good, and hopefully we're going to continue to improve it. I did tease, you guys see in the chat room right now, we've got a special thing for you guys. For those who are new, for those of you who've been around for a while, this isn't a big deal. But Big Bison in the chat room is one of our oldies and our goodies. And for the longest time ever, Big Bison was our king of parody. This guy week on week would come up with new songs, and I was just flabbergasted by what he was able to do. And we missed him, and life intercedes. We all know that, right? But we have the debut of Pison's glorious return. I'm back, which we'll be playing a little bit later tonight. You guys who have missed Pison for some time, we'll get your Pison fixed, and hopefully, you know, Pison will be able to put these things together on a regular basis for us throughout the year. So welcome back, Big Pison. Hopefully you guys will enjoy that song a little bit later. I want to kick things off, get some housekeeping out of the way, and then, of course, you know, the hot topic today is going to be around the kicking game, because that's what we all want to talk about. Connor Barth managed to blow his Achilles tendon playing in a charity basketball game. We're going to talk about what your thoughts are about athletes playing in these sorts of events. Seemed to be pretty split. Not as split as I thought it would be. I figured it would be about right down the middle, but interestingly enough, most folks seem to think that these guys should be able to have a life, which I don't want to tip my hand, but that's sort of what I think too. But we'll talk about that as we go through the show tonight and talk about you know, the Tynes era, as has already been called out in the chat room. We're also going to walk through the roster with training camp right around the corner. We're going to talk about that. I've got a couple of other stories. I also want to talk about some things around the Connor Barth contract, because Spent and I were talking today on the phone, and I got a couple of what looked to be answers about the impact that this could have on the team. Not that any of us are capologists, but we should talk about that a little bit, because we're going to be interestingly trying to keep track of cap room, given there was about a $2.3 million contract for Connor Barth. So, first, big news. I want to welcome yet another sponsor. This year has blown up. You guys know that we said we were going to try and raise the bar every year, and that's what we've done every year. This year, taking and getting on the back of what we did last year on the charity front around What the Buck Really Matters and the stuff that really Spent had spearheaded and everyone jumped in and contributed, it's been an amazing group effort to get that to that next level. We said we're going to try and improve our formation and our structure, which we've been doing, and in order to make that happen, we had to get some sponsors. Well, you know that we got Wing House. You know that we got Buccaneer Beads and Anywhere Transport. You know that we got Black Ops. You know that Whiskey Willie's has come on strong. Well, just Sunday, we were having an organizational meeting over at Wing House on Hillsboro. I want to thank Aaron and the folks over there for taking care of us that day. And Captain Bones made a phone call, and we had yet another person who wanted to talk to us about sponsorship, and that person was a man named Noel, or Noel, depending on the pronunciation. I heard it pronounced both ways during the meeting, and he represents Lucky Player Vodka. If you guys don't know what Lucky Player Vodka is yet, get out there and check it out. We put out there to like the page. Please go out there. Let's leverage our strength as a group of like-minded folks and show support for someone who's supporting us. They came on board as a platinum sponsor Sunday. That means that they're going to give some cash contribution, which will allow us to offset some of the costs for the food. For the tailgates, you guys know what we do with that cash contribution. We will be registered as a 501c3, so our finances will all be a matter of public record, so that's not a big deal. But above and beyond that, they're going to be bringing vodka to a number of the events, and their promo girls and all that sort of stuff. They've got an entire line of vodka, as well as a product called Crema Fina, which, as I understand it, is similar to Rum Chata. We tasted it, and by taste, I mean we drank the whole bottle, and it was awesome. So that is good stuff. So Spen will probably drop a URL in the chat room for you to go check out Lucky Player Vodka and to get over to their Facebook page and like that, because it's good stuff, and we certainly appreciate them coming on board. So that's good news for us. It's good news for the tailgate, and I think we're all excited. One thing I do want to bring up as well, you guys know I always try and get you to pimp our stuff out there, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, and it's been growing slowly but surely. I haven't done shit on YouTube, which sucks. I got to get back in the habit of doing that. The thing that I do want to try and throw out there, though, is iTunes. A lot of you folks who are listening to this are listening on a podcast. Now, many of you may listen through iTunes. Many of you may listen through your own podcast reader or listener. But if you're on iTunes, if you could get out there and give us a rating or a review or both, that'd be great. I'd love that. I know we've got a ton of folks who listen to this podcast, because I used to keep those stats regularly. And I'd love to get those reviews out there, because it certainly gives us some strength when we go out there and talk to these sponsors and try and put these things together for us. I spoke to the web developer. Our goal was to go live on Wednesday. The pictures are in. I can actually show you some of the pictures, I think. Let me cut over to this picture. How can I get to the next picture? That's the real question. Let me see if I can show you guys. It's an image gallery. That's not working very well. There we go. That's the black T-shirt that you guys are familiar with. That's the tank top that, by popular demand, we have put in another order for. And this, of course, is the Think Pink T-shirt modeled by our friend over at the Wing House. So I spoke to the web developer tonight. Our goal, as we had mentioned before, had been to go live with that site today. It looks like it will be tomorrow. He is working on it as we speak. And so if you have not got your shirts, you can get them online there. I will put out a tweet, a Facebook post. Hell, I'll send out smoke signals when that thing goes live, and you guys can order those up. Again, those funds will go towards defraying the cost of all the things that we do, so we appreciate it. Plus, it spreads the word. And if you guys get pictures of yourself out there wearing the gear like Charlie did, that would be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome, because then we'll put them up on the Facebook page, which is really cool. So there's no gray this season. Now, we can get gray, but gray was last season. Gray was sort of an old school. So this year, we started out, the shirts we've had sort of some different iterations. We had the original white, then we had a white that was designed by one of our listeners, and then we had the gray speckle that we had last year, and then we went with play dry shirts this year, and they're black, and we have a red one as well, and then we have the pink ones. But certainly, if there's demand, we can get those things put together. I know we're trying to get some kid sizes as well for some of you folks out there. But thanks again for all the support. It's awesome. We're also looking at a way. I think Buckboy and a couple of the other ones had asked, hey, how can we help out? How can we contribute? You guys know that we're never going to make this stuff cost you anything. It's all going to be optional. If you want to participate, or if you can participate, we appreciate it. The last thing we're going to do is probably create sort of this subscription thing, which would be almost like a players club, whatever, like first round draft choice, whatever, where you can contribute a certain amount per year, and your names can go on the website like a sponsor, and you'll get a package of things like a t-shirt and some other tchotchkes, and then maybe some special events. But we haven't put that stuff together yet, and if we do, we'll let you guys know, and if you guys are interested, great. If not, then we'll kill the program. But it's just another way we can do that. Spence got a great little tip in the chat room right now. I'm sorry for you podcast people. If you're local, Whiskey Willie's in Tampa, which is right there over on Hillsboro, right across the street from our Hillsboro location for Wing House. If you say What the Buck, if you tell them you're with What the Buck, you will get 10% off of your order, as well as a free small shot bottle. So that's one of the things our sponsors, we're trying to get them to put together some packages like that, so that when you guys go in there and let them know you're from What the Buck, you're going to get some special treatment as well. With that in mind, I actually want to go ahead and pimp and remind folks about the No Fly Zone party. Then we're going to hit the Paisan song. Then we're going to talk training camp and roster. So that gives you the sort of walk down. We got a whole crew of people coming in the chat room. It's great to have you guys coming in here. I know you're here for the heated discussion about Connor Barth and his Achilles tendon, and we will get to that certainly. But I do want to remind you, August 17th, starting at 7:30, is our first annual What the Buck season kickoff party. It is the no-fly zone party. The event, I'm sure, Spent will drop in the chat room here soon. It is at Wing House of Tampa on Hillsborough Avenue. 7:30 until they close. Pretty much what that manager has said is we want to take over the entire place. It's going to start right outside. We're going to have a registration desk. If you give us your email, you're going to get a free raffle ticket. We're going to be doing raffles every 30 minutes, I believe, starting at 9:15. We're also going to have, we've called it red carpet, and we've played with the idea of calling it a green carpet. Doesn't matter. Moral of the story is there's going to be sort of an Emmy, Academy Award kind of thing, a 10x10 backdrop with the ability to take pictures with super fans, maybe some Wing House girls, with each other to commemorate the event. If you want to buy the pictures there, the photographer will be able to sell them. If not, we're going to be posting the pictures, more low-res quality, on the social media site. A really cool way to sort of commemorate the evening. Now, what's the evening going to be about? The evening's going to be about getting together with other Bucks fans who are excited about this season. That excitement is starting to spread. As you can tell, if you've gone to the Ticketmaster site for individual game tickets, we actually got the little indicator that says not many left on a couple of the games. So that is very, very cool. Eric Page, oh, I've got something for you. My man B. Wall Street's in the house. Remind me to show that in a second, B. Wall Street. Remind me to get on Eric Page for you. But we're going to have that right outside. There's going to be cornhole going on. There'll be a cornhole tournament. John Pertile at bagboards.net is going to be out there making sure that we have the cornhole stuff going. I'm sure our own commissioner of cornhole will be out there making sure that things get done right. And I'm also sure that Captain Bones and Bucknuts will be reigning supreme with the belt, as they are quite proud of that belt. Now, during the evening, there will be drink specials and food specials. We're going to be out mingling. It's really going to be a non-focused event. There's not going to be a broadcast there. Kurt Creel is going to be there DJing, going to be playing great music. We're going to be doing raffles, like I said, every 30 minutes. We're going to hopefully have some celebrities there. You never know, parents or players or both. You just don't know who's going to show up when it's a party like ours. We're trying to get to about 250% or 250 people just from us at that party and really rock this thing out, because as sad as this is, and this is really the moral to the story, folks, as sad as this is, there isn't an official Tampa Bay Buccaneers bar in Tampa. How fucking pathetic is that? So our man Aaron over at Wing House on Hillsborough wanted to change that, and so that's what we're doing with him. So get out there August 17th. There's no cost for admission. The raffle prize is going to be great. There's going to be Wing House cards given away. There's going to be signed memorabilia, including, I believe, assuming we can get everything done when we're at training camp, which I believe we will, a signed Revis jersey will be one of the raffle prizes. Lucky Player Vodka is putting together a raffle prize as well. There are going to be some really nice prizes that are going to be given away and done early in the evening enough so that by about 10:30 we're all going to be able to just sit back and have a great time. I won't show up B Wall Street. I'll hold for you on the Eric Page thing. So Austin says he had his What the Buck shirt on in ER. And Austin, I'm glad you're not going to need surgery, man. Our man Austin busted up his foot pretty good, probably putting it on someone. So we'll see how you recover. But that's good to hear you're recovering well. So what I want to do is, without any further ado, I actually want to get a chance. This will give me a chance to grab the Eric Page memorabilia while B Wall Street's out there. Hard for there to be a Bucks bar being able to throw half. Buckfly says, yeah, okay, so that's true as of late, but you know what? Still, it's not all about that, and there's plenty of ways you could do that. I mean, you're going to be a Bucks bar in Sarasota. It's still, you should have some place that is official. You could argue that Leroy Selman's would be that because of Selman's tie, but there's no one that really sold out for this at all, and there wasn't even before the blackouts, right? I mean, I've been here for a long-ass time. 7:30 until they close. I think they close at 1. We can double check that, but I'm pretty sure it's 1 o'clock. So anyway, with no further ado, I'm going to transition over. Big Paisan, I'm back. I'm happy he's back. I'm hoping his creative juices are flowing. I'm going to grab the other thing on Eric Page, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Connor Barth, Lawrence Tynes, why that matters, why it doesn't, and what you guys think about it. Here comes Big Paisan.
Bolton and Reeves, a defense elevation. I hope we can stop the pass. And I'm back to sing some Buccaneers songs. Let's get back
Big Pison. Big Pison, ladies and gentlemen. Our parody master has come back to regale us with his songmanship. I don't know what word I'm trying to put together. I'm just excited he's back because it's been a long time coming. So welcome back, Big Pison. Again, hopefully you'll have your creative juices going, and we'll hear some good stuff all year. For those of you who were not around in the early years when this stuff happened, Pison whipped out some really great shit. I'm not lying to you. So at any rate, let's talk first and foremost. There was a news story-ish that occurred last week about Mike Williams. He tweeted a tweet. People thought it meant his contract. He has subsequently tweeted another tweet saying it wasn't. It was about his baby's mother and her family. I'm not sure if you guys care about that. I'm not sure if we know what the true story is, but word on the street is we don't have to worry about it. Mike Williams is relatively happy, and at some point in the relatively near future, we will sign him to a contract. Now, a topic for a future show is going to be salary cap, because we are going to be in a situation, I believe, next year with the decision on Josh Freeman. If he does well, the Bucks do well, they've got to make a big call on Josh Freeman. There's a lot of money that we got tied up. How are they going to manage that cap? That's something that Mark Domenech has not had to do before. It's going to be interesting to see how he's able to put that together moving forward. Now, that's long-range looking. I'm really more interested in seeing, you know, how people look out there at training camp than that right now, but it is something that we need to talk about. Now, news today that had everyone all a Twitter is about Connor Barth. So Kurt McDonald had just written into the mailbag. By the way, if you'd like to write into the mailbag, you can do that at questions@whatthebuck.net, and I will certainly take the questions throughout the broadcast today. I'll do my best to keep up as well. Via the chat room, I see Leo is talking about the discussion I'm about to bring in. So Connor Barth, kicker for the Bucks, closes Achilles tendon playing in a charity basketball tournament. Now these things happen all the time. Achilles tendons pop all the time. It's amazing to me how often it happens. It is a non-trivial injury. We saw Daquan Bowers come back from it. I don't know if they had the exact same Achilles injury, but it was an Achilles injury as well. $2.3 million. The story that I read, that I think Leo read as well, from TampaBay.com. Essentially, a non-football-related injury means that the team does not have to pay him. So the team can pay him, but they don't have to. Anything they don't pay will come across as cap savings for next year. And Buck for Life asked a question. This is a very good question. Do the Bucks not pay someone who's injured in a charity event? How would that look on them? Well, let's look at it this way. I pay you to do a job. You go out of your own volition and do something that injures you in a way that you can no longer do that job, that I didn't say you should do. And in fact, the contract stipulates that if you were injured in a non-football related injury, you're not going to get paid. I mean, it's It's pretty straightforward. Now, they can choose to pay him, and it was great there was a charity event, but that's actually the discussion. The discussion for right now, which is, what do you guys think about that? This has happened with players before. Hell, Charlie Batch, when he took over for Detroit ages ago, as I show my age, was playing in a touch football game on the beach in Hawaii and blew his knee out. Was never the same again. He used to be a relatively mobile quarterback, you know? Now, Gurr, I didn't say that Achilles is a trivial injury at all. It is a non-trivial injury. It's amazing DaQuan Bowers came back so fast and seemed to be so unaffected by it. The Achilles tendon is something I'm normally very concerned about. So, same time the Bucks want all their players involved in charity, would this defer people from... it would stop them from playing in basketball events? Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, and this is funny. I was talking to Spen about it on the phone. I remember even in high school, our football guys were not allowed to play basketball in the offseason. Basketball is a tough sport. Now, I saw someone on the Facebook page say kickers aren't athletic enough to play basketball. That's horseshit. That's just stupid. But that being said, there are some sports that seem more likely to cause injuries, and basketball just seems to be one of those. You can roll ankles, you can blow knees, but you know you want to get out there and be as active as you can. He wasn't the only NFL player in that game, as I understand it. But the other thing that they could have done is they could have insured it. They could have insured it. There was an article from the Denver Post talking about teams like the Denver Broncos for Peyton Manning who had insurance that went along with the signing. And the insurance, should they get injured, can repay the team for the lost wages. And that can affect the cap. But there's nothing that we've heard so far that says that the Bucks could do that. But it is covered, according to the collective bargaining agreement, in Article 13, Section 6, Rule 4, for those of you legal eagles out there. Blah, blah, blah. Insurance proceeds received by a team as beneficiary to cover a player's inability to perform services required by his player contract shall be deemed a refund from the player if A, the club or the player purchased a policy, B, the amounts covered by the policy are so specified in the player contract, and C, the policy is made available for inspection upon request by the NFL or the NFLPA. So, many players have done this, and even college players have done this, guys, but I don't know if anything like that was on Connor. But regardless... Buck Daddy Shreve says he doesn't think that Bowers tore it entirely. I'm not really sure. I didn't get the details on that, so it's interesting. Fred says Penn still got paid last year despite dinging up his leg in a competitive summer basketball league that wasn't even for charity. There's nothing that we've heard that says the Bucks aren't going to pay him. All we're saying is they don't have to, guys. Let's not get our panties in a wad about it. They don't have to. That doesn't mean they won't. They didn't have to pay guys more on practice squad, and they did. Right? This is a business decision. That is the interesting thing here, is it's that fine line between business and emotion. And you've got to try and manage both of those things, and it's tough. Yeah, and left tackle is way more vital, even though, you know, typically kickers are the higher scorers in the league. It's interesting. The other piece to this that I don't think can get lost, or I don't want to see get lost at any rate, is this injury can happen anywhere. Right? Injuries in general can happen anywhere, but I was throwing my son, Nicholas, around in the pool, and I got acute tendinosis, I thought it would be called tendonitis, in my Achilles tendon, and I couldn't walk for a couple days. Right now, I'm certainly not an NFL athlete, as you guys can notice with my girlish figure, but I certainly am more active than a lot of people are, and do a lot more than play in the pool, and that happened. So it is amazing that people are so incredulous about this happening in a game. Now, the other side to this is, and thank you to Kurt for sending me over the stats. Let me see if I can put these up on the screen. This is some more test stuff to see if this shit works, guys. You guys probably, you know, stats are for losers, but here are the stats for Connor Barth, and I'll let you guys catch up with me in the chat room because I know you're a little bit behind. There's a little bit of a lag that Ustream has imposed. These are the stats for Connor Barth. We all know Connor. We all love Connor. He is a hell of a kicker. 84.8% with a long of 57 yards. Those are good numbers. That's good shit there, Connor. 16 starts for the last 3 years. Pretty good. Makes his point after. He's a solid kicker. Now, who did we replace him with? Lawrence Tynes. This is Lawrence Tynes' data. 39 attempts, 33 made, 84.6 with a long of 50. You can't read it. Is it too small? I thought it might be. Thanks, Buck for Life. I'll transition off of it. I will transition off of it. So, at any rate, he's a solid kicker. Bringing him in allows that will be allows us to not worry so much. But that being said, we paid a bunch of money for Nugent a while back, and he couldn't kick his weight out of a fucking paper bag. So that's going to be one of the problems. So regardless, we've got someone who should be able to kick field goals, who should be able to make point afters. I don't think we need to waste a lot of time on it. When we talked about Kanan on the Kanan signing, people were all upset about Kanan. I thought field goal or field position meant a lot more. Kanan has done well. And I don't think it was a bad draft pick or bad trade or free agency pickup, rather. But in the kicking game, would we rather have Connor Barth? Bet your ass we would. But we had to go out and get someone good. And by God, I don't want to see us grab someone who's 1,000 years old. I don't want Morton Anderson playing for the Buccaneers. So I was all right. Now, the real question is B-Wall. B-Wall back? Where are you? B-Wall Street. Long of 50 is less than Barth worthy. Well, yeah, but I mean, you really don't want to be pushing your kicker to that. And I thought, now, and correct me if I'm wrong, and Stash Nato, you're one of the guys who could do that. And by the way, thank you, Calico Jack, for yet another great name, Stash Nato. That's wonderful. Martin Grammatica. No, he's not in playing shape. Wasn't Kanan a long field goal kicker as well? I thought that was one of the other things with Kane. It was not only was he was a punter, but he had a long enough leg that he could go in for long field goal attempts. But I never saw us do that. Okay, thank you, Leo, for the information there. So for he wasn't great. Okay, well I have to go back and look at the data. Eric Page got back. I'm hoping you can see this. I don't know if you know who that is, but that is your boy. An Eric Page card. Can you see that? I believe it was the Zellers who gave this to me. And I thought for sure you would think that was very cool that it even existed. The interesting piece to me is that it's just a drawing. My man doesn't even have a picture yet. But that's all right. That's all right. He'll get a picture at some point, assuming he makes the roster. Maybe if you come to training camp, you can take a picture of him. And then you can get it out there. So, okay. So that's sort of the kicker discussion. I didn't hear a lot of people saying one way or the other, and you guys are a little bit quiet in the chat room. My belief is these things happen. I don't get, does that say 101? I don't think so, but that's funny as shit. No, it says 141. But for life, you're a dick. I thought there'd be a lot more heat about these guys should know better. They're not supposed to do these things in the off season. But to be honest, people have been very level-headed about it, which has me encouraged for the future. Because I really thought there'd be a lot more heat about it, and I'm glad that there isn't. So what I'd like to move on to now, if it's okay with you, and I think, Kurt, this answered your question about who the replacement's going to be. You hadn't seen the news yet on Tynes, so you got that. I also want to check the mailbag. Again, if you want to send mail to us during the show for me to address, you can do that at questions@whatthebuck.net. That's all working very well, which is good. There is another song that I'm going to play. I'll do that for the outro. That's fine. Just realized I have to leave from here 5:30 a.m. and make it over to the first day of training camp. Or stay four nights over there. B-Shuck, you know the answer to that question. Stay four nights. It's training camp. Fuck leaving at 5:30 in the morning. That's going to suck. Not this Kurt. I don't know what you're talking about. But at any rate, let's go to the training camp thing. Let's talk a little bit more about training camp. What positions are you most interested in seeing in training camp? I know that in my mind, we do have a rookie in camp to compete with Tynes. He plays like four bath did. He could. Leo brings up a good point in the chat room. Kai Forbath kicked very well. He really did. He went on and signed. That's very, very interesting. Having the extra legs in training camp will be useful. But at this point, I mean, just going by what we have, Tynes looks like he's the incumbent and he'll take over. But you're right. If we get someone out there who can knock it out, then he'll knock it out. Now, for those of you coming over for training camp like B-Shuck is, sounds like B-Sizzle is hooking him up with a bedroom, which is nice. I mean, Sizzle, you may have to do some shit for that, though, Shuck. I'd be careful. Training camp is going to be a good time. Will Hoyler says corner, linebacker, and safety. Those are the areas you're interested in? Why? Why is corner and safety? Much less annoyed with Barth than I was with Penn this time of year, even though Penn's injury only held him at training camp. Charity event versus competitive b-ball league, community relations for boneheadedness. Yeah, I get you, Fred. I don't know. This goes back to my belief that these guys are humans too, right? I mean, you got to be careful, but he could have done this shit walking right out of the house, you know? We have no free safety. So this is the discussion based on the Joe Bucks fan article that we have two strong safeties. Is that what you're talking about, Will? I'm guessing that that's what you're going at, right? Is that neither one of these guys are particularly suited for the free. So, you know, that doesn't really bother me that much. We got plenty of time to implement our system. We also have other guys on the roster. To be honest, we've got enough supplies in the cupboard that safety doesn't concern me. I want to see what the safeties look like out there. I want to see what the system looks like. And that's going to be the interesting piece, is whether or not we're going to see the same scheme we saw last year, how the scheme's going to change. They've got some more groceries back there. I don't know how much we're going to see Revis, when we're going to see Revis, but goddamn, I want to see him out there. I definitely want to see what we've got in Jonathan Banks and see what Eric Wright looks like out there in coverage. And more than that, I mean, when I looked at my list, like I look at the things that I was concerned with, the ones that I called out, defensive line depth is the thing that everyone has been concerned about. And I know Paisan's right. In Shiano systems in the past, the safeties are always going to have one that comes down in the box, and he's going to rotate in and out. You could go to cover three. He's going to shift side to side. But we don't know what this defense is going to look like. We just don't. Both of these guys are rangy, and they both have good hands. Buck for Life, I think, said it best in the chat room. Will the secondary look as good in action as it looks on paper? Because lots of these things look great on paper, and then when you put them together, the shit just doesn't work. Backup three technique is Fred Kerr's concern, or Fred the Gurr's concern. What do we do if McCoy goes down? Well, we're all fucked if McCoy goes down. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because there's no one else on the team that can play the position the way he does. But does that mean that the defensive line would fall apart entirely? No, not really. Right? I mean, who would they sub in? You don't have anyone else who's necessarily natural there, I don't think. I think Akeem Spence may be able to play some there. There's a couple of guys that can play there. The question becomes, what does it do to your defensive line? And again, we saw so much shifting and stunts that were strange last year that I just didn't understand. Tight ends are always worthwhile. Who doesn't like a good tight end, Stash NATO? But the positions I called out were defensive line, linebacker, and tight end as the biggest weaknesses. And then the hottest battle would be tight end, linebacker, Sam specifically, and then nose tackle. Though I think that it's interesting. I haven't heard anything about them moving Mason Foster to outside linebacker. And I don't know why anyone would necessarily want that either. Paisan, are you saying that just because you'd like to see him move out there, or did you hear something on a report? What is that coming from? And I agree with Leo. Landry would probably be the guy that would go in there, not Spence. Spence would stay at the nose. But Jen loves tight ends. I'm sure you do. I'm sure Bucknuts does too. So I'll let Paisan catch up. The chat room is clearly behind. Is Ronnie the 55th best player in the NFL before he retired? I don't know. I don't do those things, Rook. I don't think much about him, to be honest. I have not read anything. I see a lot of people talking about it because of where Mason Foster played in college. If there were clear starter quality guys in backup positions, they usually aren't backups for that reason, right? Yeah, B Wall Street's where most people are, which is that it's probably going to be Dakota Watson. He's got the chance to do it. You've got Casillas as well, who has an opportunity to get in there and play. We've got to see them play in the system before we know what's going on. But I don't know why people want to move Mason, to be honest. Mason started out well. I'm not sure what hit him about halfway through the season, whether it was training or conditioning or whether there was an injury that we didn't know about. But he played very well early and then did not in the past. And God help us, if he does that, if he goes to a three-man line full-time, I'm going to have to drive to Steve White's house and bring him to the hospital. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's good. Foster was much better last year and very, very good, I thought, early. And again, he drifted off after that. But when you look at the roster that we got, could move. Okay, there's the link. Paisan's got Blues, KFFL. That's a fantasy football league site, right? I'm checking the link for Paisan. This is from February 14th with no site. There's no citation. No, There's no one that's standing besides that. The worst defense in NFL history is only one place to go but up. They weren't the worst defense in NFL history. They were the worst pass defense in NFL history, Rook. That's different. You know that. You know that. The question that weighs on everyone's mind is whether they were the worst pass defense because they were so good at run and everyone just threw the ball over the field or what the case was. That's the subtle nuance, right? And then when you look at the rush defense that was so stout last year, the question becomes, will it be as stout without Michael Bennett, right? With DaQuan Bowers on the left-hand side and Adrian Claiborne on the right-hand side coming back off injuries, both of them, what level of play will we get off of our ends? What will we see? What will the defense be able to do? Now, in the second year in this system, they should be far more fundamentally sound about what the responsibilities are, about setting the edge, beating them to the pylon. There's some cores that Shiano preaches that I know that the entire staff is preaching as well. That should lead to this team being better against the run in general, being gap sound, assignment sound, which is one of the things that leads to a strong run defense. Now, with the improved athleticism in the secondary, you would hope, as well as a new defensive backs coach, which is apparently better than who we had last year, who, after the fact, everyone is coming out and saying was a horrible coach, this sets up to be a much stronger defense. It really does. Now, all of these things are conjecture, and that's all we can do right now. Even through training camp, it's conjecture. There are people, I mean, hell, you guys know I was all over Ed Gant. I thought Ed Gant was the second coming, you know? And Ed Gant didn't even make the roster. Doesn't mean he's not talented. Didn't make the roster, though. So while I think we can take a lot of things from training camp, and I certainly do every year, I think I learn a lot when I go to training camp, we will not see until the real bullets are flying. Preseason will matter. Preseason game three specifically will matter. And then we're going to have to see. And if you remember last year, first game, you go there, there's so much pressure on that first game. What are you going to do? You come away with a loss. Is the world over? Is your season over? What did you see? It's the reason why we come back. You know, that's really the reason why we come back. That's the excitement. Don't we have two DB coaches this year? Separate quarterback and separate safety coach? I don't know. Hey, anyone in here over from Pewter Report? I don't know the answer to that either. I apparently don't know any answers tonight, but I can check out the coaching question. That's easy enough to find out. I just know that the cat that we brought over from LSU that everyone thought meant we were going to draft old boy from LSU ended up not being any good. Let's see here. We have secondary cornerbacks coach Tony Oden. Secondary safeties coach Jeff Hafley. That is correct. Fred DeGurr with a win. But I don't know fuck all about either of those guys, to be honest. So I haven't done the research on either one of them. That's all good, old or spent. Just trying to answer. I'm glad Claiborne's back too. Guys, this is one of the things we keep talking about, and we won't know whether this means shit until we see them play. But we are getting back some really talented players from injury. Davin Joseph, Carl Nix. This has got to instantly make this offense better. I know that everyone's paying attention to Josh. I know there's a lot of pressure on Josh. Lose sight not of the fact that this motherfucker can throw the ball. Don't lose sight of the fact that Doug Martin can still run the ball. He's running behind a better offensive line. Just those things alone should make a significant impact on the offensive production. The ability to extend drives, keep the defense fresh, get some field goals that we weren't getting last year, maybe convert some of those field goals into touchdowns. Now, yeah, I mean, if Josh falls apart and starts throwing interceptions left and right, if the receivers forget how to fucking catch, if Doug Martin gets injured, God help us all, or if he gets, you know, shut down, somehow they figure out how to tackle him, yeah, all of that stuff could kill you. But you get two Pro Bowlers back on your offensive line, this has to help. And we're whining about tight ends? Jesus Christ, I could give two shits about tight end. Don't even start a tight end at this point. Or just start whoever can block the best and put them on the right-hand side since, you know, we're going to have DeMar Dotson over there or whatever. So, it should be very, very exciting from a Bucs fans perspective. And hopefully we'll be able to temper the highs if there are any lows, right? That's the difference, is can you ride the highs, and when you're faced with adversity, can you get through that adversity? That's where Josh has to step up. That's where he has to elevate his game, not just on the field. He has to stop thinking he has to do everything with his arm, rely on the rest of the team to help. And while this is all going on, he's got to lead them. And there are guys that are behind him, you know? We could be a whole lot worse off. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, you look at it, you got DaQuan Bowers filling in for Michael Bennett, who was a great producer. You got AC coming back for Daniel Tanesham, who will still cycle, I'm sure. But AC, his rookie year, played out of his mind. He played very, very good football. And he was one of the things you look at was high motor, assignment sound. Right? He's a grinder. He is someone that in this system should be able to do very, very well. At the very least, we've got someone who, if he's physically solid and everything says he's on track for a good recovery, all those sorts of things, will be better than the guy we had last year. That's the front four. Now, the linebackers, guys, we don't have a fucking clue. We really don't. Levante David was a beast. He was an absolute beast last year. He should be even better this year. But there's a lot of tape on Levante David. If you think people aren't going to be watching for that son of a bitch, you're out of your tree. Right, Dakota Watson will finally, it looks like, get the chance that some of us have been wanting him to get for quite some time. Will he be able to step his game up to being an every-down player? I don't know. I'm not sure. Does Casillas have enough to come from a role player position to be a starter? Okay, good. We have some explanation about Sizzle. Sizzle has had a couple of beverages. That explains his actions in the chat room. That's fine. Tebow for tight end. That's, now I see why you're saying that. You must be drunk. Bowers may well be able to get more sacks this year than Bennett had last year. Bet you a fiver that he won't be close to as good against the run. Fred the Gurr weighs in. Now, what's interesting to me is I don't disagree. Daquan Bowers showed some explosion that was shocking. If he is in condition this year, which he should be, he came back early. He's had the whole offseason to get conditioned. You saw Donald Penn's tweet about the – I think it was a tweet – being concerned about the conditioning drill. I think they did 16 110s last year, and that was all the rage. People were pissing about it. But he's already passed his conditioning drills, and everyone's going to pass their conditioning drills. If these guys are in condition, Daquan Bowers should be a better pass rusher than Michael Bennett. I agree. He's not as savvy. But I believe that talent for talent, he's probably got more talent. What will he do against the run game? Well, if he just is assignment sound, that's enough. Michael Bennett did more than that. I don't think we need him to do that. Four-thousand-yard passer, Dougie B. Wall Street's lineup, three Pro Bowl linemen, Pro Bowl V. Jackson Mike, his TD machine, AC and DB, two huge defensive end prospects. Flash a ton. GMC's the boss. Yeah, I mean, it really does sound good, guys. And believe me, during the great years, that hasn't worked in the past. The role player, new role with us. I don't know what that means, Big Python. The roster looks good. The cupboards look solid. But then the question becomes, who's the cook? Right, Parcells used to say, hey, if I'm going to cook, I want to be able to buy my groceries too. The real question becomes, what is Coach Shiano, what is his staff going to do with this? Sullivan and Sheridan, what are they going to do with their systems? That's going to be the difference this year. Will the receivers and the quarterback be on the same page? Will the defense be able to get enough pressure without sending everybody and their friggin' brother so they don't have to leave guys on an island? And if they do have to leave guys on an island, will Revis Island hold up? Will Eric Wright be able to stay healthy for one or two games in a row? Who knows? Will Jonathan Banks be able to get in there and play solid football? We don't know. Can he hold up against the NFL caliber receivers? He looks big enough, but can he do it? What will the safeties be able to do to these receivers should they come across the middle? Right? Do we already have a penalty fund put aside? Because if we don't, we probably should. That's the real question. So, you know, when I look at the roster, it's like any other year. You're going to get there, you're going to get a roster sheet that's, you know, a legal page sheet. You're not going to know half of the people. Jen, there are Rutgers players, not as many. But there are some Rutgers players. It's not so bad as people were mentioning before, but Kalial Gloud, who is a linebacker, is a Rutgers guy. Andrew DePaola is a Rutgers guy. Brian Leonard, running back, is a Rutgers guy. He's been with us. Then we got Tim Wright, who's a tight end. There's four. And then Jeremy Zuda. You guys know Jeremy Zuda. Gary Gibson as well. So we're at six. Looks like six. Spent too long tight end. That's where all my comments now come like 3 minutes too late to be relevant anymore. Sorry about, you know, the lag is really annoying as shit. This is a byproduct of Ustream, and we are trying to move away from Ustream, guys. I'll give you a little bit of information. We'll get off the talk about the roster for a second. We're looking to move to Decast, which is a instant streaming, a much higher quality. It's going to cost us some money, but we're definitely gonna be looking to use that and a product called Wirecast. So you can actually see Kurt as well. We'll have someone else. You wanted to stare at my mug all the time, which will be nice. Tim Wright's an interesting prospect at tight end. Leo, I don't know much about Tim Wright. What do you think about Tim Wright? You think he's interesting? In my mind, the tight end position has not been leveraged. They need someone who can get in there and block. What's his beef? So he's 6'4", 220. That's light. That's light for what he's probably going to have to do. Zach Miller is the next lightest at 236. And then you've got the other end of the spectrum where you got big boy Nate Byam at 264. Converted wide receiver moving tight end. Looks like a wide receiver. I mean, that's the interesting piece. Yeah, so that's some of the part of the plan. I think for those of you who haven't been with us for a while, with the new technology, what our hope is that we're going to be able to have Kurt on air as well as doing back-end production so that I'm not trying to do everything at once. That's his profession. He's very good at it, far better than I am, most likely, given the fact that he does it for a real job. We're trying to get that put together so that the technology all works, also so that we can do remote broadcasts and try and up the quality of things and get back to having live calls, because those are always fun. I love doing interviews with folks, even though players aren't really allowed to come on anymore. Leo, your comment about Stocker, he can certainly Spence being funny in the chat room. Stocker can block. Stocker can catch. I don't know what the fuck happened. Stocker can catch. He is certainly capable of catching the football. And I'm not sure how that breaks. You know, I just don't. When I did my long-ass quote, every snap Blunt saw in 2011 project, one thing was clear. Stocker was the second-best run blocker on the team that year, says Fred the Gurr. Now, Fred the Gurr, for those of you who don't know why I'm talking to Fred the Gurr, Fred the Gurr is quite a line aficionado. You should follow him on Twitter as well. He does a lot of analysis about offensive line, blocking, et cetera. Fred the Gurr, it doesn't shock me that True Blood that year was the best run blocker. Doesn't surprise me at all. Anyone who watched True Blood play knew he was a road grader. And if you get into that phase of the game, he was very useful. The problem is he was so bad in pass protection. His feet were so fucking slow. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. Which is why he's no longer with us. He's still alive, don't get me wrong, but he's just not with us. But regardless, the tight end position is going to be interesting to see. Linebacker, we've talked about a little bit. Nose tackle. This is, again, going to come down to it. Now, I was in another debate with Leadership South, who's not in the chat room tonight, about the number of double teams. Fred the Gurr, have you done any sort of analysis? And if you haven't, if you'd like to, I'd love to talk with you about it, about the number of times Gerald McCoy faced a double team last year. In that three technique, I want to see how many times they're able to slide someone over to give assistance to Gerald McCoy and what that's going to do with our nose and what that does to the angles that we can take with our defensive line. I would love to talk to you about that and potentially even do an interview, an offline interview that we could play like we did with our interview with Charlie Campbell from Walter Football. So, Fred, put your Twitter handle in the chat room there. All right. So we've talked about roster. You guys know I'm going to be looking at Josh. I'm going to be looking to see how he's delivering the ball, whether it's on time, what they're doing with the option reads, what the receivers look like. When they're doing actual scrimmages, I want to see the DBs fighting through receivers. We have some serious, serious receivers, guys. These DBs will be going against great talent. And just like Donald Penn, you say about AJ and Claiborne, you know, iron sharpens iron. When you have someone terrific to go against every day in practice, that's going to make you that much better during the regular season. So these corners should be battle-tested. Now, as long as we're running the same defense, then they're going to get a hell of an opportunity to improve their game. But what we'll probably start doing is some spotlights on the areas. Wide receivers, guys, you know the question about wide receivers. It's not about one and two. We know who they are. It's Vince and it's Mike. The question really comes down, why is Mike not on this list? Huh. Someone go to the Buccaneers.com and check. Maybe I just didn't copy it properly. He's not listed as a wide receiver on the roster, which is weird. At any rate, I want to introduce someone else to you quickly. We've got a young lady out of California, and hopefully she's listening to this podcast. She's probably wondering what the hell's going on. Her name is Caitlin. and she's going to start writing some articles for us. Now, what we're doing with Caitlin is she wants to become a journalism major. She and her boyfriend are moving out here. I think she wants to go to USF. Her name is Caitlin Pham. She's got an article on Mike Williams, actually, and Mike Williams and Vincent Jackson. I don't want to steal the thunder of the article, but it's going to be coming out this week. It's getting edited tonight. If you're interested in writing articles as well, please let me know. Send me a sample of your writing. One of the things we don't want to do on the website is get to the point where we're just reporting the same news everyone else is. We also don't want to become TMZ. There's already a big site that does a lot of that now. I would love this site to be more... this sounds so bougie, but do I really care? More intellectual. I'd love to see the kind of stuff that Fred the Gurr has done. I love the stuff that Drew Hamilton does. I love the stuff that Nico does. And a lot of these guys already write for their own sites. But analysis, breakdowns, deep dives. I know that sometimes those can become heavy, but I think that when you look at the fan base that we have here that pays attention to What the Buck, these are the things that they typically like. They're things you don't get everywhere else. You know, so... He is, but I don't know how I managed to miss him. That's a shame. And that makes sense, given the fact that I did sort by position. So, at any rate, there's not a lot back there. I mean, Ogletree, I think, is the only bright spot that we got. Owusu. You got Ogletree at three. That's what everyone has right now. But, I mean, what will he look like? Kevin, like a boss available. Nice. All right. Well, I'm going to check the mailbag, see if you guys have got anything tonight. I want to remind you about the no-fly zone party as well. I know you poor people who are not local are going to be pissed at me for reminding you about that because you're not here and you can't come to the party, and that's sad, and I feel bad, but you should move down here, or you should fly in for the party. That's another option you could do. It's August 17th at Wing House on Hillsborough Avenue. If you click on our website, you can see where that is. Again, if you're not signed up for our newsletter, do that. It's in the bottom right-hand corner. Just drop your email address in there. We only send something out, I believe, once every 6 weeks. It's a summary. And if we're doing something special, we'll send something out as well. But those are really the only two conditions. Do pay attention to us on social media. Tomorrow we should be announcing when the store is open for these What the Buck shirts. We'd love to have you buy them. More than buy them, we'd love to have you wear them and take pictures of you wearing them out and about and send them in. And we'll get those out on social media all over the place, which will be tremendous. I want to thank Big Paisan for coming back into the fold. It's great to have you back, brother. If you can send me over your files in an MPX format instead of the way you did, that would be great. So that would be terrific. Speaking of digging a bit deeper, pimping my own stuff. Leo, you pimp away, man. Pewter Plank. We love Pewter Plank. What you see is what you get. How to dismiss the two good games attack on Doug Martin. I saw that today, and you can always pimp. You guys know that. And I used to do this at the beginning of the show, and I've gotten away from it. That sucks ass. The ones I had left were Buck Stats, Buck Nation, Buck Chat, and the Pewter Plank. Those are the guys that we talk about all the time. So make sure that you do check out the Pewter Plank, one of the sites that I check out. I haven't read that particular article yet because I don't believe the premise. It's like preaching to the choir to me. So random question, since I guess there might be a lot of people in this chat room who may know about this kind of thing. Anyone here know much about the Tampa area high school football? I do. Fred, I'm happy to talk to you about it whenever you want to. Drop me a note. I can tell you about Tampa football. I can tell you about Polk County football. I'm actually helping coach over in Polk County this year, so that's a lot of fun. I said MPX because I'd like it to be an MPEG 1 or MPEG 2. MP4 I have to convert over. So, at any rate, guy joined the team. I coach here from the UK already, and he was a 3-year lineman for the Riverview Rams. Riverview is okay. Armwood is a cheater, just like every other big program in the area are cheaters. Plant, all of them do that kind of recruiting. That's bullshit. Riverview was pretty good last year, as I recall. Plant is a perennial strength Jesuit, Chamberlain. But I can certainly get me his name, drop me his name, and I'll get some information because a couple of the guys that I socialize with are big coaches in that area. Yeah, Armwood got caught, exactly. Exactly. All right, well, we got one more surprise for you tonight. We're going to send you out with a new outro. And this is by Martin Miggs. It doesn't have all the words in it because Martin doesn't like his noise or his voice, but check that out. Rook, by the way, I've reviewed Doug Martin's runs against the Raiders. It looks amazing how he does not follow his own blockers and lets the defense create holes. So what's interesting about that, and I was going to get out of here, but what's interesting about that, I'll go back and look at the video on replay. Wes Kanan, nice. Doug Martin's a guy who looks like he could run really well in a zone blocking scheme, but we don't run a lot of zone blocking. But I think a lot of times he treats it like it's zone, and somehow he makes it work because he's so tiny he gets lost behind the blockers. But I'll go back and look at those things as well. That's heroic. Oh, shit. All right, well, thanks to everyone out there. Thanks to Spent, Bones, Reno, the whole crew, Kurt Creel, Chef Red in the house. I got your menus. We're going to get you set up. We're going to get our things done. The Zellers, remember, the 17th, you're going to be out there. We'll make sure we have a show next week as well. Hopefully, there'll be some news. Hopefully, it won't be an injury. Until such time as I talk to you again, follow us on Twitter at WhatTheBuck, Facebook, facebook.com/WhatTheBuck. And let's interact. Here is our send-off from Martin Miggs. Let him know how you think about it, and we will get back to you next week. Wrong one. I'm an idiot. I am an idiot. Sorry, guys. Here we go.
Another first down for the Bucs out of the gun. Freeman fires. It is hot. Touchdown, Crimson Jackson.
Hey, yo, what's good, old school? What up? What the?
Good God, am I that stupid? Son of a bitch. I suck. I don't have this thing loaded. It was a quick show. It was almost an hour. Hold on a second. We're still trying to figure out where the hell Martin Miggs sounds are. I can't find it. We're going to go with the old outro right now. Martin, I'll get you next week. Sorry about that. We'll use Paizan's old outro. Sorry, folks.
Work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest. I missed you.
Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by whatthebuck.net and the Moohead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/whatthebuck to receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net, and most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight and see you next time. And most of all, go Bucks.